It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. Democrats in the Illinois Senate this afternoon plan to spell out their ideas for getting the state through its latest budget crisis. Senate Democrats are promising a proposal based on tough practical decisions. They say it will fund basic government priorities while paying down old bills, cutting costs, and reducing spending. Illinois faces rising pension and Medicaid costs on top of billions of dollars worth of unpaid bills. Governor Pat Quinn proposes cutting retirement benefits for government workers, slashing Medicaid services and payments, and raising the cigarette tax. That would be in addition to spending cuts in most agencies. Thousands of nurses and other protesters have filled a downtown Chicago plaza to demand a Robin Hood tax on the financial transactions of banks. It's the largest protest yet ahead of a two-day NATO summit that's expected to draw an even larger demonstration. To make their point, nurses and their supporters dressed in red shirts and wore green felt Robin Hood caps with red feathers. Together with other protest groups joining them, the activists filled the vast daily plaza next to City Hall. The National Nurses United group says a tax on financial institutions' transactions could offset cuts in social services, education, and health care. Meanwhile, lawyers for other NATO summit protesters say Chicago police arrested nine activists on what they insist are groundless accusations they had or planned to make Molotov cocktails. The National Lawyers Guild tells the Associated Press police released four protesters this morning. The guild says officers Wednesday broke down doors at an apartment where the activists were staying in Chicago. It claims police entered with guns drawn and without producing warrants. The Chicago Police Department, however, has refused to comment. The police chief in Mahomet says he's not commenting on the particular circumstances of this week's apparently accidental shooting death of an Urbana toddler by a teenage relative. But Chief Mike Metzler says the tragedy points up the importance of keeping all firearms locked up. Metzler says that's a rule to follow even if you own a weapon for personal safety reasons and want to keep it close at hand.
If we're talking handguns, there are single unit gun vaults that are easily accessible either through biometric touchpads or combination touchpads or even key locks. But again, if they're going to be in the home and loaded, access needs to be restricted.
And Metzler says weapons used for hunting or sport shooting should be locked up even more securely. He says if there are children in the house, it can be a good idea to explain the weapons to them so that they will know how to handle them safely, but the weapon should still be locked up. Urbana police say 3-year-old Makai Woods was shot to death by his teenage uncle, who had reportedly confessed to stealing the weapon and keeping it in his room. According to news reports, the teenager had wanted to warn his nephew about the danger of guns and didn't realize the gun was loaded. He's being held at the Champaign County Juvenile Detention Center. Indiana's unemployment rate is at its lowest point since late 2008 by falling to 7.9% for April. Figures released today by the State Department of Workforce Development show that Indiana added 15,400 private sector jobs last month. That helped the jobless rate to fall from March's 8.2%. The state jobless rate is slightly below the national mark of 8.1% and well below Illinois' rate of 8.7%. GOP congressional candidates in the 13th District don't disagree on many issues, but they emphasized different things during a Bloomington forum. Congressional aide Rodney Davis says trade helps keep hostile leaders like Hugo Chavez of Venezuela engaged on issues that the U.S. values.
We have to have levels of conversation with governments like that to ensure that we keep that open dialogue, because once we stop that dialogue, as we've seen in Cuba and as we've seen in other countries, it's pretty tough to get it back.
Business owner Kathy Wasink says the U.S. should stop borrowing from China because the debt handicaps the U.S. when there are disputes. Lawyer Erica Harold says the U.S. should secure the borders with Mexico before dealing with the tough issue of illegal residents. GOP county chairs will choose a ballot replacement for Congressman Tim Johnson tomorrow. Republican Mike Pence is ready to say who he will pick as his running mate in his campaign for Indiana governor. Pence's campaign says he'll make that announcement Monday, but isn't yet releasing where he'll reveal his choice for a lieutenant governor candidate. The Republican congressman will face Democrat John Gregg and Libertarian Rupert Bonham in the November election to replace term-limited governor Mitch Daniels. Pence's running mate pick will have to be confirmed at the state Republican convention on June 9th. The University of Illinois Board of Trustees is expected to vote later this month to close the Police Training Institute on the UIUC campus. University of Illinois President-designate Robert Easter says PTI is a critical program for training police officers, but Easter says keeping it open would be tough to do given the financial constraints on the university.
I can't justify the use of tuition resources to support something that does not support our students in that mission, the educational and scholarly mission of the institution.
The Training Institute is supported by the U of I's General Revenue Fund and not tuition dollars, but Easter says added pressures on the General Revenue Fund could impact tuition rates. Earlier this week, both the Urbana City Council and the Champaign County Board passed resolutions in support of the Police Training Institute. Easter, meanwhile, wants better communication between the U of I's Board of Trustees and faculty. Easter will replace Michael Hogan as president on July 1st, following growing tensions with faculty that eventually led to Hogan's resignation. Easter envisions having several trustees regularly meet with faculty as campus liaisons.
There's clearly a need to have good communication. It should also say appropriate communication, so that it's clearly understood that conversations are going on and that they're open and transparent to anyone who cares to be aware of what those conversations are.
During a U of I Board of Trustees committee meeting Thursday, Trustee James Montgomery also suggested having a faculty representative who could communicate with board members. The full Board of Trustees is scheduled to meet May 31st in Chicago. About 80 people attended a public meeting last night on the U of I Urbana campus about the proposal to allow hazardous waste at the Clinton landfill. Champaign, Urbana, and environmental groups sponsoring the meeting are opposed to storing PCBs at the landfill, which is located above the Muhammad Aquifer. Those attending heard the views of people like David Holt, who says the PCB proposal received a go-ahead in its early stages from the federal EPA because it was introduced at the last minute with no opportunity for the agency to learn about independent research on the site.
It's kind of like a court case. If the only thing before the judge is one side's evidence, then you tend to go with that side. And what's happened since April of 2009, when the US EPA came to Duke County and declared, we'll issue this permit in 60 days, what's happened is we've got additional science in front of them.
Holt, the co-founder of the group Watch Clinton Landfill, says getting conflicting evidence in front of the U.S. EPA is the key to why a final decision on the Clinton Landfill proposal has been delayed for nearly 3 years. Illinois' two U.S. senators recently went on record opposing the disposal of PCBs as well. Former Formula One driver Gene Alesi has been practicing this week at Indianapolis Motor Speedway as he prepares for his first Indy 500. The experience is also a new one for a Muhammad man who is a part owner of Alesi's racing team. Scott Williamson is a regional sales manager for the seed company AgriGold and a longtime racing fan. A year ago, he got into the racing business himself as one of three partners in FanForce United. Williamson says they started competing in the IndyCar Indy Lights series, with competition in the Indianapolis 500 being a long-term goal. But barely 2 weeks ago, he says they were able to put together sponsors and a team to race in this year's Indy 500.
Monday afternoon, we had nothing more than a carbon fiber tub with no parts attached to it. And over the weekend, we were able to pull together a very, very experienced Indy 500 crew with a lot of Indy 500 experience. And over a period of about 48 hours, they worked tirelessly to get this car put together and then have it on the track on Thursday for the first rookie practice.
Williamson referred to Thursday of last week. Alesi has continued his practice run since then. He plans to compete for pole position in this weekend's qualifiers in order to race in the Indy 500 itself a week from Sunday. Williamson calls his involvement in the business end of Alesi's first ever Indy 500 a dream come true. Finally, Kerry Wood, who electrified baseball with a 20-strikeout game as a rookie in 1998 and then became a reliever after his career was slowed by numerous injuries, is expected to retire after pitching one more game for the Chicago Cubs. Multiple media outlets reported the move, and fellow pitcher Ryan Dempster said it will be tough not seeing him out there. The 34-year-old Wood is in uniform today against the White Sox in the opener of their first interleague series of the season. The Cubs declined comment, though manager Dale Swaim said Wood was available to pitch if needed. Wood started his career with the Cubs in 1998, then later pitched for Cleveland and the Yankees before returning to the Cubs in 2011. There's more news at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.